present to you today's words of wisdom in English and French with subtitle in English, Arabic, Olaxis or Vietnamese, Chinese, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Korean, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Urdu and Thai. Connue pour sa déclaration des droits de l'homme et du citoyen, la France est un pays qui met en avant les principes de liberté, d'égalité et de fraternité. Le peuple français à bon cœur est bien connu pour accueillir les immigrants venus chercher un foyer. La nation française a eu une influence positive sur de nombreux pays à travers sa législation et son excellence dans de nombreux domaines. Par exemple, dans le domaine de l'exploration, les Français ont été à l'avant-garde de l'aérospatiale avec les frères Montgolfier et leur montgolfière qui a permis à l'homme de s'élever dans les airs. Aujourd'hui, les Français sont toujours à la pointe de la technologie, en particulier dans l'aérospatial et les transports terrestres, avec entre autres le train à grande vitesse, ou TGV, qui est détenteur du record de vitesse. Nous devons aussi le cinéma à Léon Bouly et la photo couleur aux frères Lumière. Toutes ces innovations ont permis à beaucoup de Français de traverser les frontières et d'apporter leur esprit de solidarité dans le monde entier via des organisations célèbres comme Médecins Sans Frontières et Emmaüs International. La France est aussi bien connue en médecine avec entre autres les découvertes de Louis Pasteur sur les vaccins. Dans le monde des arts, c'est Claude Monet qui a révolutionné la peinture avec l'impressionnisme. On ne peut bien sûr pas parler de la France sans mentionner la haute couture, la gastronomie et le savoir-vivre qui font de ce pays une destination touristique romantique. La France est aussi une terre de paysages variés qui s'étendent depuis la côte atlantique jusqu'à la Méditerranée en passant par le Jura et les Alpes dont le plus haut sommet, le Mont Blanc avec ses 4808 mètres, est aussi le toit de l'Europe. Au cours de sa tournée mondiale de conférences en 1993, le maître suprême Qinghai a été invité à se rendre dans cet ancien pays de romance et d'histoire colorée pour partager sa sagesse et sa connaissance de la vérité. Nous vous invitons à présent à suivre la conférence suivante intitulée « La belle tradition du peuple indien » donnée par le maître suprême Qinghai à Paris en France en août 2007.
This is a story about some special stuff. This is a story from Muslim country. The story I told you yesterday and now is a Muslim tradition, Muslim country, about fakirs, yeah, about Sufis master, yeah, about Islam, a great wise man, a prophet, etc., etc., yeah. And the master, or the Sufis master, they use also parables to talk to their disciples, yeah? As you know, if you use sometimes the conventional mean, the brain immediately like shut down. Say, no, I heard like that. I did not hear like this. They were put up of resistance. So most of the master, they use parables, yeah? Liken a situation and do something and telling a story in order to drive home some spiritual point, yeah? So if they talk about roses, it's not really roses they're talking about, yeah? If they talk about beautiful girls, it's not really beautiful girls that the master are interested in or have in mind, yeah? Or even if they talk about jokes. So what I'm just trying to tell you that in the old time, the master used all mean. It depends on the level of the disciples. He will use that mean to teach them. Yeah? Yeah. Because some people don't understand anything else if he's uneducated. At the case of the old time, many people illiterate, yeah? Even nowadays, still have some illiterate people in the world. It's a sad thing, but it's the truth. So the master has to use all kind of means to drive home the spiritual point, yeah? Because he make it interesting so that the disciple listen, that's all. Just for example, one master in a Sufi's order, it's just a parable, it's not the real thing. He's supposed to ask every of the people who come into his house or into that house to smell the rose. They have beautiful rose in the garden, in the corner, and then tell everybody go there to smell it. Yeah, and describe what it is in two words only. And some people say something, some people say all kind of things. The only the one who say is a rose. And it can stay in his house. And everybody else who doesn't know anything about it or who write nonsense, then cannot stay. Miss the mark, you know? Miss the point, yeah? Therefore, when a master talk about rose, it's not exactly the rose, okay? It's not about the rose that he talks about. It is just to drive home something. Now, there's a man who planted an orange tree, yeah? It happened to be these orange trees are very special orange tree. It produces fruit only every 30 years or 20 years, a very long time. After 30 years, maybe they have fruit. So everybody tell him, what kind of orange that you plant? What for? You never know if you live until 30 years to eat this fruit, no? Why do you plant it? Yeah. And this person happened to be the chief of the priest. So the man who planted the orange say, oh yeah, I know that. But who knows, maybe I live until 30 more years to eat the orange. Or maybe, at least, you know, my descendants, yeah? My successor will be able to enjoy it. So what's the harm, you know? No problem. Okay, now. And then this story came to the king's ears, or he also came and have a look at the orange, and he also said the same thing. What for you plant the trees in your old age like this, in your middle age, past middle age, and you never know if you will live until 30 years to eat it? So the man answered the same, yes, maybe, who knows, maybe I live until 30 more years, or at least my descendants will enjoy it. And the king agrees, okay, who knows. Okay, just in case I also, you know, the king, will live for another 30 years or more, and you still live another 30 years, both of us, maybe, that long-lived people, then could you please bring me some of this orange if it bears fruit? Yeah? So the man, of course, said, yes, it would be my honor and privilege to bring it to you. 30 years later, truly the orange tree bear fruit. So the man, remember, and he took a basket full of it. Yeah, cover it well, clean and nice, and bring it to the capital. And there he met the chief of security and say that the king has wanted some of this, so I bring it to him. So he reported to the king, and the king said, oh yeah, yeah, good man, that still remember me after 30 years about what I wish. Good subject, good citizen. So I reward him abundantly with a lot of gold pieces. And he enjoyed the orange. It's very special, sweet orange. When you eat it, feel very, very energetic, very spiritually elevated, and feel very happy, contented. It's not just an ordinary orange. That's why took 30 years to bloom, I guess. That's why. It's a very precious orange. So, okay, said and done. He took his gold, the king took his orange, and everybody happy. It will happen that there's another woman nearby his house. And she saw what he does, and she also wants to offer the king some orange to get some gold. So she took some of her ordinary orange in her yard, put it in a similar basket, covered it well the way he did, and brought it to the capital and demanded to see the king and to get the gold. But the security man knows all about it, you know? So, of course, he doesn't let her in. And she came home with her own orange and complaining all the while. How come orange and orange? What? Why I don't have any gold? And that man have a lot of gold like that. She complained. Yeah. Because she was so angry and concentrate on gold only, you know? She even forgot to ask the special orange planter what really happened. So she keep complaining all the time, all the way. Everybody knows about it. But the truth is, it was a special orange that the man offered to the king. It's similar. The master used this to point out to the disciples that methods and methods are different. Yeah. Maybe you think you belong to this and that order or that religion, but you don't have the essence of it. Yeah. You don't have the lineage of initiation. You don't have the power connection to God. And that's not the same. So no matter how many oranges you have, it's not the same as the one specially cultivated and bloom only 30 years. Precious, you know? Precious. Yeah. The same. The master wanted to say that the method that he introduced to his disciples at that time, you know, the Sufi master, that was a precious one. It might look similar to any others, also like religious, the 5 commandments or 10 commandments, or be good, do good and all that. Yeah, but it's not the same. Yeah? You might have a bank account, but it's empty. Or only a few dollars in it. And another guy might have a same bank, yeah, similar account, but he has $1 million in it. So when he write a check, he write big. You see what I mean? Confident. And people trust it. But when you write a check, no matter how many zero you put in, it doesn't help anything. That is good. You might write the same, you know, number 2, and put like 50 behind it. It makes no difference. It looks the same check from same bank, same amount, same number, but it don't produce anything. Similarly, if we do not have a fortune of meeting a real living master with a real living lineage, you know, real living connection with the divine power, then no matter how long we sit, no matter how much charity we do, it amounts to not much. Yeah? It might keep us morally okay, high, yeah? And maybe people will praise us for being charitable. Yeah? And we might feel that, okay, we are very charitable and spiritual person, but feeling it's not the same. And so some of the humankind, many of humankind are deluded into thinking like that. There's no connection. Then there is no connection. When there is no electricity in the house, even the plug look the same, yeah, and the outlet look the same, the cable look the same. It's not the same. Yeah, electricity is not connected. You know that or not? Yeah. The telephone is the same, but it doesn't work. Yeah. Because it's not connected. It has to be connected. Either the electricity already in the house, or you have to plug it in. You know that joke about the new commander of the army, huh? He went into his brand new office and I love it so much. He got promoted, you know, and feel very grand. And then suddenly somebody like a nobody come in with, you know, crumpy clothes and dirty, oily clothes, come in his office, and he want to impress that guy. So he pick up the phone and said, "Oh, hello, Mr. President. How are you? You know, everything is okay there? Of course I come visit you, sir." And then he keep blah blah for a while. And then he turned to the dirty clothes looking at him. And you, hey, what you want? Sorry, sir, I came to connect your phone. Remember that joke, huh? I told you long time already, no? I remember very well. It's a joke you won't forget. So it's just a show. It's just a show, a pompous show, if we don't have substance. Yeah. The light and the sound of God, that's the only method that we should connect. Because that's the real thing, it's not even a method. If we're not connected with the light and sound of God, if we're not connected with God, then we're not connected with God. Yeah. No matter what we say, what kind of clothes we wear, how beautiful clothes, or traditional or not traditional, or how many attendants you have around to make it look good, and how many people come and listen to you, or how many people worship you, or how many people donate to you, it makes no difference. At the end of the day, if you're not connected with God, you are not connected with God. Right?
Yes.
Now, you know very well the difference, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So similarly, the other day we talked about NQ. Huh? What is NQ again? Anybody know? What is it?
Noble quality.
Okay. Wow, you have better memory. Good. Okay. So noble quality is the same. The other day I told you I'm glad that you saw the positive side of every other country. I was very happy that you even noticed the positive side of the people and the goodness of their countries. Yeah? And the noble point of their citizens. Also look like very devoted to God, yeah? And look like a very charitable, very spiritual, aspired. But this might be copy. You understand me? Or maybe tradition to help. Maybe because have a lot of money, yeah? Maybe a good leader, yeah? To direct all this money into helping other poor country. And that's very good for that country. Good for that president or the good premier, yeah? Good PM, yeah? Prime minister, okay. But it's not necessarily of the whole country consciousness. But sometimes people do it out of, okay, we have to, you know. The church say we must be charitable. Yeah? The temple monks say we have to be good. Yes. So they try. That is very beautiful to try. At least you try. Huh? But the inborn quality of the Indian are different. They are not copyable. Not copyable. They just do it like they breathe. Yeah? Like they comb their hair, like they bath in the Ganges River. They don't do it with any motive at all. They just do it because it's just inborn in them to be good. And even their country are poor, they still keep whatever the tradition, beautiful, because they can't help it. If you come into their house, they just have to serve you. They just have to cook for you. They just have to treat you like a king. Because that's the way they are. They do it with their heart. So this thing from the heart cannot copy. That's what I mean. What you do out of learning or out of order or out of tradition is not the same. Yes. Maybe in that country there are some good leaders, you see? So the leaders teach the citizen or make an example or govern the citizens well so that everybody go toward that goal. So they use a public fund or anything at all to help other poor people, or mobilize the whole country to become religious adherents of one religion or another religion. But it's not the same as people are born with it. Nobody had to tell them anything. They're born into it. And they just have it in their gene. And the people who are the same quality, of course, will be attracted again and again to India and be born there. Therefore, the whole country become that. So you can't copy it, yeah? Just like if a person who is charitable from the heart, and she or he is very, very conscious of the suffering of others, and anything she or he would do in her power or his power to elevate the suffering of the people. They do it with heart, you know, anytime. It's different than the person next door who saw him doing it and tried to copy it, but not the same feeling, not the same concern for the suffering of other people. But nevertheless, the copy is beautiful. Yeah? We have to start from somewhere. We have to learn from somewhere. So examples are extremely good. So even the Indian people, they don't go out and teach anything, but many people go to India to learn, you see that? Mm-hmm. And emulate their kindness or their hospitality. Of course, people don't write the record about it, yeah? But they do. Many people do go to India and then feel the goodness spread also into their being, and then they go home do the same. Yeah? Of course, it's not as good as the original, but it's very good. Money is easier to give. You see, like for example, I give money to charity, or I give money so the disciple go out, you know, your brother and sister go out and help the poor. But I respect those people who go out there and help, you know, directly. I wish I could do it myself too. But it's not my direct job, you see? So it's not like I give money and then I feel proud about it. Okay, I'm the one who give money. No, no, the one who goes there to the direct area and give it to direct the people, they are the great ones. Yeah. So money is not everything. Yeah. But of course I have my feeling with it too. We just give what we have and with our honest earning. Yeah. I wish we could give more, you know? But they're better than nothing. Yeah? In some poor country, if I give 30,000, it amounts to like almost half a million or more than half a million. Then, for half a million dollars equivalent in America, you can buy a lot of stuff. So don't just say, okay, I have only 10,000. It's not too much compared to, for example, Bill Gates giving 10 million. Don't compare. Do what you can. You're not Bill Gates. Do what you can. And I don't do it as a sole donor to the disaster victims. I do it in the knowledge that I'm just doing my part. Everybody else do my part. Can you imagine if many organizations, each one give only $30,000, the victim will be singing already. Yeah? Singing praise of God already. Yeah? They think it's a miracle that God bestowed on them. Don't you think so? We're just doing our part. Yeah? And that is, if everybody do their part, then the whole world is never in trouble of any kind. And, you know, like, even if 30,000 buy something for people, maybe they live one more day more or two more days, they wait for the bigger thing to come. You know, like a big Red Cross, United Nations, or big country, powerful money, Mongol, to come and help them. But they have to live meanwhile first to wait for these big helpers, you know. We are not the big helper, of course. We're just doing something, what we can. And that helps them to survive for a while until some better things come. That's the idea, you see? So we just go over there and give it directly as much as we can, yeah? Like in Vietnam we say, một miếng khi đói bằng một gói khi no. That means, you just give me a morsel when I'm hungry, better than you give me a big bag when I'm full. Yes. Because that morsel will keep me alive for a while until I be able to stand on my feet or until somebody else stronger, more powerful, come along and help me. See what I mean? Without that morsel, maybe I die already. And it's too late for the powerful and the bigger helper to come. And that, you see what I mean? So it's good we do our part. In my heart, I feel the suffering of the people feeling. The more you practice, the more sensitive you become. You feel the broken arm of an ant. You feel the broken wing of a moth. You understand? That's why we cannot kill. Not that we don't kill. We can't. We feel. What he feels? How can we do it? You see what I mean? Anything make me suffer. If I see them suffer, I suffer. Even an ant or an insect that happened to fall on the ground, I would lift him up and say, you go out there, it's better for you. Yeah? Very gently, so that he won't die. His life is precious. He lives only half a day. That's all he has. You know, life is precious to him. So any insect or anything, we cannot kill because we know he hurts. You see what I mean? It's not like you don't kill. You can't. You cannot do it. You cannot bring yourself to do it. And that is a natural law. It's not like Master Qinghai imposed it upon you. You don't kill. You don't hurt other beings. You just can't. Yeah? Maybe in the beginning you say, okay, Master say I don't kill, so I don't do it. But later on, as you grow up in spiritual practice, you just can't. Even if I don't tell you, anybody else tell you to kill for your survival, you cannot do it. It just become you. You awaken within yourself the greatness, the nobility that you have it. Yeah? That is God-like. So, this is a real thing then. Yeah? This is a real Indian. Okay? You will all become Indian. With all different color, white, black, yellow, red. Half white, half red. Half black, half white, you know, like a zebra. So, we have to become like Indian people, by heart, eh? Okay, yeah. It's good that they are there and keep their beautiful tradition, yeah, for you, for the people to know about it and to emulate. And I hope the Indian people continue to live their tradition. No matter how poor they are, they're extremely rich. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When your heart is rich, you are truly rich. Mm-hmm. Money don't mean much. Oh, it does mean something. Well, if you can use it to help people and to nourish your family, that is something. Yeah? Of course. But it too shall pass. You know that already. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Richness, poorness shall pass. If we don't take good care, or if it's our karma like that, it shall pass. Yeah? Or you give it away, also you don't have. Yeah. So anyway, it is good that the Indian people do what they do and continue to live the way they live. Even in their poor country, they still live the same tradition. Did you read one of our magazine in which one of our funny messenger report about one village in Rajasthan? That they're very poor, but they have a house there for the guests. Whoever go there can stay for a while and have a full boarding and lodging. Yeah? And they have nothing there, just desert. Water is even rare. But still the hospitality don't die. Yeah, the same. I mean, that is an extreme area, yeah, with no water, because it's a desert, Rajasthan, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a desert-like area, very hostile-like environment. But the people's hearts are gold still. So you do understand this? It doesn't have to be money. But they do that. The whole village put money there so that there is a hotel exists. They don't charge you anything. They don't charge anything. And of course you can't stay forever, eh? Everybody understand that. If you have to move on, huh? It's just for passing by travelers. You can stay 3 days or 1 week. And then you have to make room for somebody else. It's not like the villages are not hospital, but people passing by, you have to go, no? It's a hotel, okay? It's not your house, no? And you don't go there to live in a hotel forever, of course. You are a mendicant, you just go there, you take the hospitality if you don't have, and you move on. You can move to the next village and stay in the next hotel for another few days, continue forever. And they always feed you and welcome you like they have never welcomed anybody like that in the whole lifetime. So even in such a small, dirt poor village, you know, no trees, not much, and no water, they still hospital. And in the remote regions of Himalayas, which I traveled before, they have such hotels everywhere. Oh, they don't even call it a hotel. I don't know what they call it. Maybe guest house. Yeah. You can come in and stay free. Yeah. And have meal also. I mean, very simple, you know. Like the way they eat. Dal and rice. With salt in it. Yeah. That's it. But you're full. You have enough nutrition to go on. They give you what they have. And in many places, you know, of course, I have learned that if I have money, I give, you know, I give at least the basic, you know, the cost of it. Not more, but I give, wherever I go. If, you know, If I take something from it, I give some money. Yeah. Because I know it's for the next one. For most of other India who are poor, who went there for a pilgrim, they could afford it. So they can repair the roof or whatever for the next customers. But they don't expect anything from you. That's the point. Anyway, it's nice to live in a thatched hut, you know, because India is very hot. If you live in concrete building, oh, it's too hot. Yeah. Mostly they use a thatched hut, you know, and mud to make a mud house. We call it mud house. We, the tourists, the spiritual tourists, call it mud house. And it is a mud house, all made with mud, you know, and straw, whatever they can find in the region. Okay. So Indian people are truly remarkable. They're truly hospitable. It's not just a gesture of hospitality. They are hospitality. They are it, you see. They give you with the heart. They never think of counting of anything. One time I went different places and studied with some different teachers, you know. One time I am with one teacher, yeah, one master of India. He passed away already. And then I went somewhere. But just like you went somewhere and stay in another initiate house or another center like that, you know. And sometimes a contact person, you know, you go there because you travel, happen to be nearby and you pass by and you overnight in their house or stay a few days. The contact person would just receive anybody anytime they come. Every day they cook me the best food ever. You know, the same with the family. It happened that their family a little bit well off. Not really well off, but compared to India, they're okay. And they just go and get vegetable fresh every day and cook every day. Yeah. And then I say, oh my God, this is a lot of work for you and your wife. He say, no, are you joking? This is an honor I would never dream of. Yes, like receiving people of that master every day. Can you imagine? It's not because the master taught him that. It's just him, it's just her, it's just the Indian people, they're like that. So if everywhere you go in India, you can see this kind of hospitality everywhere. Okay? So the Indian is like that. I just really respect them a lot. In my heart, you know, I feel reverence for such a race of people. If they have a lot of money and they're a rich country and they do such thing like mud house hotel, then we would not be so surprised. Yeah, and amazed. But their country are very poor. A lot of poor people. But you see now, they're not poor that much. Of course there is still a gap between the rich and the poor because some people live in remote area and there's no access, no chance they become rich or anything. But now the Indian people, according to statistics, have more billionaires than the rest of Asia. So even in a material sense, God also return them the favor, hey? Who knows, after a while, all the Indians become well-to-do and all have enough everything to eat. You understand me? Mm. Okay, wonderful. Very good. You're very smart. Any question? Spiritual question, curry question, anything. Yes?
India, they were always the first most noble country. It was always like this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And for the other country now, they set like an example?
Yeah, invisibly they set an example.
Yeah.
But people are slow to learn. Okay. Everybody applaud a hero, but not everybody want to become a hero. That's the point. That's the main point of human. We all know all these great teacher or great example of kindness and love, but how many of us emulate it? How many of us want to be the same or do the same? At least even to copy. You see? Yeah? Human learn too slow.
I mean, when they come here, the animal they know already is a big sacrifice to come here.
Yes, yes.
Is so that they know already.
They know. They know, but they do their part. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's just like sometimes we go to help a disaster area, maybe you're risking. Mm-hmm. But you do it, huh?
Not really a question, but a few weeks ago we interviewed a lady who can communicate with animals.
Yes, that's possible.
And she was saying that animals really understand the spirit world much more than humans do.
Yes, definitely. So, you know, I told you, yes.
Yeah. just automatically, that's just the way it is.
Yes, yes, it's the way it is, because they're more inward than us. We are too materialistic, that's why we forgot our spiritual self. They are not, you see? They live from day to day, whatever they have, they eat. Have you ever heard a dog, you know, or see a dog who asks for luxury food or or more comfortable bed? No, they don't care that. Whatever you give them, they eat. That's the point. Yeah? Because they're absolutely relying on God, on the providence. They're always in contact with the divine. That's why they know so much. The all-pervading knowledge, you see? We only concentrate on books, learning from books, yeah, learning from printed word, learning from experience of other people about how to survive in this world or how to add 2 and 2 make 4. And they don't need all that. They know everything. That's correct, that she knows it. It's a pity a human doesn't avail themselves for this great knowledge of animals. They come here really to help. We can tune in with them. They tell you all kind of things that is beneficial to you. They even warn you of danger. They warn you of bad person. They tell you who is good for you, who is bad for you. They tell you who is higher level, who is low. Yes, they know everything. They can tell you the whole history of that person 10,000 years back and so on. Yes, so that you know the relation between you and that person. You understand? And why things happen the way it happened. They explain it to you. Okay, last life, he did that to you. This life, he's going to do that, the same, but similar, but different. Like last life, he make you a slave and driving the camels through the desert and delivering milk. This lifetime, yeah, he make you drive truck, milk truck, and pay very little or abusing you. It's a similar situation. You understand? Just maybe better this time because he had vowed to come back to make up for what he done last time. So maybe he treat you better this time. But still there is some trace you can see why he did that and he did this to you. Because sometimes he slipped, he forgot. And the karma so strong, make him do wrong things again to you. And the animal knows all that. They explain everything. If you can communicate with them. Rarely an animal complain of anything. Unless you ask them. For example, one psychic animal communicator, she's on TV all the time. And the owner asks her why her dog is sick. Yeah. So the dog tells her that because the chemical they use in the house, every day in, day out, they use any chemical to wipe the floor and wipe the wall and all that. And that makes him sick because he cannot bear it. So the psychic the communicator to animal, tell her don't use chemical anymore. It's your vinegar solution the way I have taught you. And then the dog immediately put his paw out and shake hands with the psychic. Right on the camera. And it's not like a trained dog or, you know, like they know each other, nothing. And he was kind of nodding and shaking her hand. Everybody was so touched. I happened to see that show, you know, when I was in America sometime. I see it somewhere. I don't know where. I don't remember. Yes, it's truly like that. The communicator to animal, they really can do that. Dr. Doolittle do exist and do a lot.
But she also said that the dolphins and the whales are really concerned about the environment of the world, how we put it.
Of course.
They see so much as they go around the world.
Yeah, of course, of course. And sometimes they die because of the pollution. They know it. They are in the sea. You know? Most of the things go to the sea. And they are in the cold area as well as the hot area. They know the ice are melting in the alarming rate. People can go now to the North Pole and deep in there, swim in there already. Last week I saw some TV that a lot of people who go there strip naked. Just to show that the environment really changed and the climate really changed and that the North Pole is not as cold as before anymore. One guy who swim there just to prove it as well, swim completely just with a swim trunk. So what else is there? What else did she say?
Oh, so many things.
Yeah, I know.
It just really amazed me that the animals were much more spiritually inclined.
They are.
Or they conceiving for the humans.
Yeah, that's why they come to help us.
Yeah. But the more we know the animal, maybe the more we feel ashamed in a way.
Ashamed?
Yeah.
They come to help us.
One dog said it wanted to have a birthday party.
Yeah.
Oh, and what surprised me also was on some of the animals don't want to have babies.
They don't want?
Don't want to have babies. Yeah. And that, you know, that people should really find out before they try to get an animal pregnant.
Yeah, I know. They don't want it, because sometimes they force them.
Yeah,
and they see what happened to their babies. You know, the human don't treat them right. What for having more babies out? So to be killed, to be murdered, you know? They know everything in advance. They know when you're going to kill them also. And they say goodbye to their friends and everything. Yeah.
And the worst part was how they were treated before they died.
Yeah,
like that, how they were treated.
Yes. They want love. They just want love to keep good memory before they go. That's the best for them. Otherwise, it's a terrible negative feeling when you leave the world. Then they cannot come back to help anymore. You see what I mean? They want love all the way to the last breath. They know the time, but they need love to go. That's all the animals say the same stuff.
You want to be explained why you do things sometimes.
Yes, yes, yes. Just out of respect and also communication. Yes. Not that they don't know, but they like to explain, you know? They like to be explained. That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. Just like if I want to do something on your body, you know, pull your hair or something, I say, I'm going to make your hair beautiful. Then you would allow me, no? I suddenly go there and just wrap, root hair, you know, and start messing it up. Of course she wouldn't like it, no? You just treat them the way you be treated, that's all. Yeah? Okay? Yeah. Yeah, many things, many things. What else did they say?
They believe in reincarnation. You know, they know that why they came back again, to help another animal, to help another human.
Yes, they know that. They know that. Yes, yes. One of my birds, she flew out because she had to go and help a snake and a rabbit. Yeah, she told me that. So sometimes it's a sudden goodbye, you know what I mean? And I say, why you had to go? She said, well, I need to help my friend. So she just go. She tried to find a way to go. Through a little crack of window or whatever. She has to go and she has to go. They don't mind dying. They just know their time, or know their mission. They're happy, but you have to love them, you know? Because that's the memory they will bring it with them. Just like us. If we die happy, it's better for us, you know? Okay.
beaucoup pour votre merveilleuse compagnie aujourd'hui dans Paroles de Sagesse. Rendez-vous demain pour une nouvelle conférence pleine de sagesse intitulée « La différence entre l'illumination progressive et immédiate ». À suivre, c'est un voyage à travers les royaumes esthétiques sur Supreme Master Television. Restez avec nous et que votre cœur soit léger avec toutes les bénédictions du paradis. We thank you for your wonderful company on today's Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for another insightful lecture entitled The Difference Between Gradual and Sudden Enlightenment. Up next is a journey through aesthetic realms on Supreme Master Television. Please stay tuned and may your heart be light with the blessing from heaven.